Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd of June. This is Paul White, and I'm glad you're with me. After what was probably the shortest podcast we've done maybe ever yesterday, just a few minutes long, let's relax and slow down today as we start a brand new chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're rapidly nearing the end of this book. It's only 13 chapters long, but there's some work to do from here on out, as some of Paul's more famous passages from this book happen, particularly in this 12th chapter. Just as a preview, this is where we get into Paul's vision of the third heaven, and it's also where we get into the thorn of the flesh. Both things have been the subject of much speculation, much teaching, commentary, sermon. So I'll add to the fray a little bit, add to the noise, and hopefully we can say something that is productive in your journey as you walk this out with Christ. So let's start at the top of the chapter with verse 1. There's at least a comment or two I'd like to make from that verse that might take the bulk of the podcast today as before we get into the entire third heaven. There's a reason I brought up seventh heaven. That's part of the ethos of this thing. Verse 1, it's doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. That phrase, doubtless, our very oldest Greek translation says it's necessary though not profitable to boast. And so this is a continuation of the thought from chapter 11. If you'll recall, somewhere around verse 16, Paul starts this sort of reluctant boasting. You might let nobody think me a fool. I'm speaking not according to the Lord, but in this confidence I boast. I boast, seeing many boast according to the flesh, I'm going to boast as all also. And then that latter half of chapter 11 kind of vacillates between telling them how he's suffering for the Lord and boasting on his apostolic authority. Chapter 11 is a little odd in that nature, although it contains some really good gems. So when 12 begins, you got to remember you're still in that mentality with Paul. And it's sort of been a long run here in this book of 2 Corinthians. But he's going to take a turn here in which he gives a vision of paradise that doesn't seem to be done in order to prove there's a heaven or an afterlife. It seems to be done more to prove that Paul is still hearing from the Lord, which is an interesting argument. Paul takes a lot of criticism in his own lifetime. Almost from the moment he's converted, he becomes public enemy number one, particularly of the nation of Israel or Judaism. That escape from a basket at the end of chapter 11 that we kind of flew through yesterday, I told you that story is told in Acts 9. If you'll read Acts 9, Paul has his road to Damascus experience. Then when he gets to Damascus, the Jews that were his friends yesterday plot to kill him today. And the whole reason he has to come down out of the window through the basket is because they know he's there and they're coming to take him. So from the very beginning, he's an enemy. Then the churches of Jerusalem send Paul away back to Tarsus because he's too bold and he needs to be tempered a bit. He needs to calm down. And he goes and spends years in Tarsus, over a decade, just learning how to function in the message of grace, follow the Holy Spirit, calm down a little bit, not be so brazen. He carries that with him his entire ministry, that feeling, that mentality. Even the rabbinic writings of his era talk about him, and not in a good way, a bit negative. Paul, that eagle with his nose in the air, sent to the Gentiles, you know, and they say it mockingly in the writings. So He this interesting moment of boasting in the vision of paradise, again, I don't think it's to lay out some systematic theology of the afterlife, though it helps in that turn. I think it's more to assert yet another notch in his apostolic authority belt. The phrase I want to get to, it's doubtless not profitable for me to boast, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I want to just focus a minute or two on that revelations of the Lord. This is the same word that we use for the book of Revelation, though there that word is singular. In the book of Revelation, it's not multiple revelations, it's revelation, though a lot of people say it, hey, have you read the book of Revelations? As if it's plural, it's not. Revelations would imply unveilings of events or things at the end. And I think that's why people think it's the book of Revelations, because they think it's a book unveiling stuff. You know, news clips, how the world's going to end. It's not. It's a book unveiling a revelation of Jesus Christ, a singular revelation of who he is. And the heartbeat revelation of that book is that he is a conquering slain lamb. And that's beyond important. It's vital in the understanding of that book. But it's an apocalypsis. That's the Greek word. The unveiling of Jesus. Paul uses the word in the plural in verse 1. I will come to visions and apocalypses of the Lord. And I say all of that to say this. I don't think that revelation of who he is a singular event. I think it's a multiplied event that happens over time, over and over again. I recently sat down with my sermon notebooks. I have 11 or 12 of them over the past 11 or 12 years. I do about a book a year. I write everything in them. They are all of the outlines of every sermon that I do, and a lot of notes and stuff I wrote to myself along the journey. Events I was involved in. They serve almost as preaching journals. From time to time, someone will call a ministry, email us, and say, have you done a sermon on this? And I know I have, and I know about when I did it, but I don't know when it was exactly. So I'll pick those notebooks up. And I had someone do that recently. We were looking up a sermon, and I found it. It took me a while. I had to go through three notebooks to find it. But as I got to going through those notebooks, it's like going down the rabbit hole. I started to get back in the mentality of where I was when I preached those sermons, and I realized how many revelations I have experienced, how many unveilings at various points in my ministry I've went through. Some of them were very world-shaking, end-of-days stuff. It changed me. Some of them were minor. Some of them were blips. I would go back and see sermons I did and notes I put down. And I know I was passionate at the time, but they didn't go anywhere. They didn't influence the next sermon. I can't account for how that happens other than you follow the voice of the Spirit and listen to where he's sending you. And I'm struck by the fact that not everybody will always go along with you on those revelations. I've lost people along the way because where I went wasn't where they wanted to go. Some people didn't stay with me because I moved outside of the boundaries and the borders of what they were wanting or where they were. And other people have tried to push me. Go into this. Get into this. Why won't you get into this? We all have to walk this out. We all have what Paul says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I think I'll talk a little more about this tomorrow as we move into verse 2. I'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.